Maybe you could just stand up before the word. I've been reading through Exodus and Moses and God speaking to Moses about going to Pharaoh. And one of the things he says is he said to Moses, he said, go down to the River Nile because Pharaoh's going to be there in the morning and I want you to tell him what I have for you to tell him. But guess what? That was an appointed moment. And God already knew that Pharaoh was going to be right on the edge of that bank of that river. And God knew that you would be here today. Specifically, that there's an appointment with the Lord today. And you have to actually recognize it, not just happenstance that I'm happen to be here or this happened because, and then we got here. No, God orchestrated that you would be in the house. And I felt very strongly that he's here. And so his word will meet your heart, speak to you, encourage you, and strengthen you for the days ahead. And I believe that following the word, it says that we can believe for signs and wonders and miracles to follow the word. Are you ready for that? So as the word comes forth, you're drawing on the power of God. And you're going to see a release of his presence in the house like you've never seen it before. And so, God, we do. We just stand here ready for the appointed time of the Lord to meet with you, that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us and strengthen us. And we thank you, God, that we would get it all, that we wouldn't leave anything behind. And I thank you, Lord, that following the word, that we would see signs and wonders and miracles that your spirit would perform in the midst of this house in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
hallelujah. Wow. It's just wonderful how God orchestrates everything together in the service to fit together what he wants to share, what he wants to do. It's just fun. I like it. My purpose this morning is just onefold: to raise you up and make you stand and be power-filled, to raise you up and enable you to walk in the fullness of your calling, to raise you up toward the fullness of your potential in Christ. Just one purpose. You know, if you really want to see what you look like, look at Jesus. Look at him. John G. Lake, I like this quote I got from him. He said, every day I look in the mirror and I say to myself, in these clothes is a person in whom God dwells. He said, you should do that every day. In these clothes is a person in whom God dwells. And there's a lot of things in life to follow. People to follow, ideas to follow, all kinds of things. But there's only one person to follow, really. And he must be first. He is the head. His name is Jesus. In Colossians 1:18 it says, he is the head of the body, which is the church, and he is the beginning and the firstborn heir of resurrection. He is the most exalted one. He holds first place in everything. Amen? Amen. Now, at the very start today, I want you to know, you are a privileged people. Yeah. You're part of a church that believes the word of God. You're part of a church that preaches the word of God. Amen? You're part of a church that believes in salvation. You're part of a church that believes in healing. Yes. Amen? You're part of a church that believes in freedom from the enemy.
Yes.
Yeah. You're part of a church that believes in prayer and communion with God, and that it's so important. You're part of a church that loves and cares for one another. You're part of a church that loves God, and you're part of a church that loves people. Amen? The truth is, you are a very privileged person. Amen. You have to know that God has his favor on us. He might have favor for other churches too, but he has favor on us, I know. I'm not excluding them, but we are indeed a very privileged people. In fact, we are people who have left the world of dying, sickness, and decay. In fact, we died to that world. Yeah. And we've entered into the world of life and health
and freedom.
We live on a different plane of existence now.
It says in 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, in the Passion Translation, it says, everything that we could ever need for life and complete devotion to God has already been deposited.
It's already been deposited in us by His divine power.
For this, all of this was lavished upon us through the rich experience of knowing Him who called us by name. He called you by name. And He invited you to come to Him in a glorious manifestation of His goodness. And as a result of this, He has given to you magnificent promises that are beyond all price, so that through the power of those tremendous promises, you can experience partnership with the divine nature, His very DNA. His very DNA. All of that is because of Jesus, because of what He's done. In fact, in Romans chapter 8, verse 17, it says, God made you a co-heir. What does that mean, a co-heir? It says, and since we are His true children, we qualify to share all of His treasures. For indeed, we are heirs of God Himself, and since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that He is and all that He has. Did you hear that? We also inherit all that He is and all that He has. We will experience being co-glorified with Him, provided that we accept His sufferings as our own. Everything that Christ has, you have access to. That's what being a co-heir means. But joint heir means you get what He got. Whatever He got, you get. Yeah? You get what He got. He got a lot. Amen? We are joint heirs. We have to see ourselves in that position of reality. To change the focus of our lives. See what we really are. Of what Christ did for us and what we are in Him and what He is in us. Because the very word repent means to change your mind. Look at something differently. Change the way you look at life. Change the way you see reality. We need to begin to see the reality of heaven in our midst. Yeah? We are in Christ. We are alive in Christ. We are alive in a heavenly kingdom. We are seated in heavenly places. We have a powerful victory. We have a heavenly ruler. We have heavenly purpose and agenda. All of that is true. It is so true. It is, in fact, it's truth beyond our understanding. So I want to look at those for a second. It says we are alive in Christ. In 1 John 5, 15:5, it says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Amen. You're in Christ. You're one with Him. You're the branch. He's the vine. Everything that flows through the vine into the branches, well, you can't get, I mean, just think about that. In a real vine and branch, whatever's in the vine goes into the branches. You can't get anything. The branch can't get anything except through the vine. Everything that goes into the branch comes from the vine. So what comes from Jesus? Oh, sickness and poison and good stuff like that. No. Life comes from Jesus. Health comes from Jesus. Strength comes from Jesus. Whatever is in Him flows into you. We are one plant with the Lord. Yeah? You can't see branches walking around disconnected from the vine and them still be alive. You have to be connected to the vine. He is the vine and you are the branch. Second, we are alive in Christ. It says in Ephesians 2:5, even when we were dead in Christ, and dead we were doomed in our many sins, He united us into the very life of Christ and saved us by His wonderful grace. We have the Zoe of God inside of us. That means the life of God inside of us. The very life of God, the very nature of God dwells in you. Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Who? His very DNA dwells in you. When you got saved, there was a transfusion of life into you. You were dead. And He hooked up the IV from His self to you, and you got life. Brand new life. His very essence came into you. It's like when Adam was on the ground as a ball of clay and God breathed into him the breath of life. When you were dead, God breathed into you the breath of life. And you became alive. You became a living being. Right? Yeah. And we live in the heavenly kingdom. In Colossians 1:13 it says, He rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness, and He translated us into the kingdom of His kingdom realm of His beloved Son. He transferred you out of darkness into light. He transferred you out of one kingdom into another kingdom. It was complete. Translated. The kingdom of heaven, Jesus said, is within you. Jesus put His kingdom within us. Wow. And the next one I like. It says, we are seated in heavenly places. You know what? You can't be saved and not be seated. Let me say that again. You can't be saved and not be seated. You are seated in heavenly places in Christ. That's what the verse says. And He raised us up together in verse 6 and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He made you sit there. He made you sit there. You can't be saved and not be seated. The complete salvation that Jesus wanted to bring to us, it wasn't just the forgiveness of sins and the heaven in the by and by. That wasn't it. I mean, that's part of it, but not all of it. He seated you in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He gave us an invitation to be with Him. Not really an invitation. Hey, get in there. He sat you. He made you to sit there. This is a force. It was an invitation with force. Like, come over to my house for lunch. I mean it. You know, like that. I don't give you an option. I invite you, but I'm not giving you any options. He invited us to reign with Him in His triumph over the enemy. In His coronation as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, He invited us into that, to sit with Him in His throne today. I'm not talking about someday in the heavens. I'm talking about today. He made you sit with Him in heavenly places. Say, I'm saved. Now the rest of you say, I'm saved. Now all of you say, I'm seated.
I'm seated.
Yes. I'm expressing the authority and rulership of Jesus. I'm seated with Him. Wow. Remember that you're already seated in Christ. You're already there. He sat you there by His own will and desire. He didn't ask you. He asked if you want to be saved, and if you said yes, you got saved. And He seated you. You were seated with Him. It's your position, whether you believe it or not, whether you like it or not. Get used to it. It's where you're seated. Yeah? That's incredible. And it's time for us as believers to stop being timid, to stop holding back. You were seated there for a purpose, and that purpose was for destroying the works of the enemy in the heavenly places, in the earth. Releasing the miracle power of God. Jesus said He came to destroy the works of the devil, and that's why you're here. He's here, He's got you seated with Him for that very purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. To release the miracle power of God. To release His miraculous power and presence in our midst. So speak it. Believe it. Live it. You're seated with Him. The only hope for a world in fear and bondage is if the church rises up and says, this is that I can lay hands on the sick. I can cast out devils. I can raise the dead. Wow. I can perform the mighty acts of the Spirit that God wants to set you free. And the next one is, we have a powerful victory. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 and 10, it says, but it is, as it is written, eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God, I like those but gods. He says, this is the way it is, except God. Except God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. God revealed to us all the things that he wants to do. If you ask him, he'll show you. He'll tell you. He'll reveal to you. He will impart revelation to your heart. In the plan of salvation, Satan didn't know what God was going to do. He was completely oblivious, in fact, Scripture says. So much so that the Bible reveals that he didn't understand what was going to happen. And so he crucified Jesus. Mm-hmm. Oh. And they didn't even know that they were unwittingly serving the purpose of God. A divine strategy beyond their comprehension. They were fulfilling their part. The mystery was deliberately concealed. Jesus was not merely coming to be raised and seated at the Father's right hand alone, but he was prepared to bring with him an entire corporate body of people, of redeemed sons and daughters of God, to sit with him in that place. What appeared to be destruction was actually the mechanism of empowerment. Amen? It was a mechanism of transformation for humanity. Wow. And we have a heavenly ruler, obviously. Jesus. I like this verse in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, and he worked in Christ, that's God, and God worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this age, but in that which is to come. Everybody, everything, everywhere is subservient to Christ. And you're sitting with him. And verse 22 says, he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. The finishing of the act of redemption was that Jesus was seated at the right hand of God. He was seated there far above all principalities, all powers, all might, all dominion, every name that is named in heaven and in earth, everywhere, anybody, everybody, everything, all of it. I can't say enough. Jesus is above that. He is not just above it, he is far above everything. There's no contest between him and other powers. There's no contest. He's far above everything. There's nothing, there's no one that outranks him in the spiritual realm or in the natural realm. He is above everything. He is first. We read in Colossians, he is first. He is first above everything. And we, you and I, are seated with him in that place. We are far above principalities and powers. We are far above everything. We share his authority in the earth, in the spiritual realm, as well as in the physical realm. We share his authority. You know, there's a lot of people in the Old Testament that God used in mighty ways, but none of them compare with what he's given to us. Did you realize that? It says that John the Baptist was the greatest prophet. Remember that verse? He was the greatest prophet. But then it says that the least saint in the kingdom is above him. So I'm above him. We have a better covenant built on better promises, and Jesus paid for it. When Jesus sat down at the right hand of God, it established one fact, that he was supreme in the universe, and he brought us with him. In Colossians 2:15 it says, then Jesus made a public spectacle of all the powers, all of them, all the powers and principalities of darkness. He stripped from them every weapon and all of their spiritual authority. and power to accuse us. And by the power of his cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were his. Hallelujah. It would have been enough if Jesus had ascended and sat down at the right hand of God. Something else. But he had something else in mind. He had in his mind that he would bring with him the church. That he would bring with him the church. That he would bring with him the church. I want to be clear. Jesus' seat, his position, is where we are sitting. It means that we share his authority and his power. We are co-heirs with Christ. What he has, we have. I don't want you to put that co-heirs in heaven. I want you to put it right now. Sure, when you get to heaven, you'll get some stuff. Maybe a mansion or two, you know, whatever he has for you. But that's then. This is now. And right now, you're a co-heir with Christ. And what he has, you have. That's both a privilege and a responsibility. To share his love with the world. We have a heavenly purpose and agenda. That's what we have, a heavenly purpose. It says in Ephesians 2:10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has good works for us to do. He's got an agenda that we're fulfilling. He's calling us into the kingdom to work with him. Not being seated in that verse doesn't mean, well, we're going to just kind of lay back and just relax. Being seated means moving into a position of authority. Moving into a position of power. And in Colossians, I like this verse in Colossians. Chapter 1, it's just kind of part, you know, Paul just kind of spits it out there in the beginning. Just kind of introduction, not even, but listen to what he says. In verse 5, your faith and love are rise within you as you access all the treasures of your inheritance stored up in the heavenly realm. Wow. Wow. That's a powerful verse. And it's just kind of one verse stuck in the first 5 verses of the book. As you access all the treasures of your inheritance stored up for you in the heavenly realm. Wow. For the revelation of the true gospel is as real today as the day you first heard of it and believed in the truth of the gospel. In other words, every day it's just as good as the day before. It's not getting old, not getting worn out. It's just as good today as it was yesterday or the day before or the day Paul said it. Verse 6 says, this wonderful message that is being spread everywhere, it powerfully changes hearts throughout the earth. Just like he did yours. Just like Jesus touched you, he can touch your neighbor. And it bears the fruit of eternal life as they experience the reality of God's grace. Wow. One of the main assignments of the church, one of the main purposes that God has destined us for, is to reveal to the principalities and powers the wisdom of God. It says, in Ephesians 3, verse 8, to me, who am least of all the saints, well, then Paul's got at least one below me. I might be the one right above him. I might be up, but at least Paul's in there. This grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ and to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church. It might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. He wants to display his wisdom to the church, to everyone. Wow. What God has done is so amazing. You are incredible. You're wonderful. You're unbelievably gifted. You're filled with the Spirit. You're an heir of God. You are the object of His love, the apple of His eye, and the bride of Christ. You are a branch, and He is the vine. You are a partaker of the sap of life. Glorious eternal life. You bear fruit that remains. Fruit that is filled with goodness and life-giving sustenance. You're ever ripe, you're ever sweet, and you are enhanced with the aroma of life. A sweet-smelling aroma. Acceptable and well-pleasing to God. You're a warrior, an overcomer, a conqueror, a victor. One who triumphs over the enemy. You're the head and not the tail. You're one spirit with the Lord. You're hidden in Christ. And you know the unknowable love of God. I like what an author wrote in his book. He wrote, "Oh, what a marvelous grace. Our aliveness causes us to be raised up together and seated with Christ in heavenly places. We are in union with Him in His resurrection, in His ascension, and in His rulership. And this union allows us to share in the present works of His kingdom power." That's good. That's good. Wow. You've been delivered from the power of darkness. The word power in the Greek is exousia, and it means authority. Thus, Satan has no rights to your life. You are legally off limits to him. And you've been translated out of his kingdom into the kingdom of Jesus. And the enemy knows this. He knows you're off limits to him, but he tries to do something to get you to stop believing that and start believing a lie. He will test you, but when you realize that what he's actually doing is trying to disrespect Jesus, then something should rise up with you in your spirit and say, wait a minute, that's it. That's the end. You're not going to disrespect Jesus. You may rise up and declare to him, I will not allow you to use my life as a means to dishonor Christ. Amen. Jesus put you under his feet, so bow. Satan, you must bow and flee. I resist you in the name and the blood of Jesus. And if there's still a devil on the earth, which there is, there's still power to defeat him. Amen? If he's still working to steal and kill and destroy, then God is working even harder to bring life, abundance, and peace. That's why the church is here. That's why you're here. To carry on the mission and the privilege of destroying the works of the devil. Of setting men and women free. Of fulfilling his commission. Jesus filled heaven with his body, the church. He's filled all the heavenly places. He has populated his church. And I believe his goal for seating us was the purpose of unseating principalities and powers. Amen. We are a called out people, called out of the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of God. We are assembled in heavenly places to enforce the authority of Christ. This is our warfare. Remember, it's not to defeat Satan. Jesus did that. We read in Colossians. He triumphed over him completely. It's to enforce that defeat, to remove and displace him in our lives. But if we do not occupy the spiritual territory that Jesus gave us, then he will continue to violate us. We must stand and resist. Because you're seated far above him. You're seated far above him. We must understand that Jesus did not endure all that he went through for us not to partake of his inheritance. He wanted what he got, what he purchased for us. He wants us to have it. He's not saying, oh, I've got it all set aside for you in heaven. It's coming. That's not what Jesus is saying. He said, use every bit of it. Use it all. We're joint heirs with Christ, and everything that he has is ours. And he is greatly honored when we partake of what he's given us. All the spiritual blessings in heavenly places are waiting to be claimed. And we must be determined not to let one drop of his blood go to waste. That's what Jesus did. And he doesn't run out. There's no limits with God. He doesn't run out. He runs over. Amen. Amen. He is prepared enough for every single person to have their full. No one will lack. Oh. We weren't just seated in that position. We were set in that position in the heavens with Christ in his authority. And it's a fixed and cemented position. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Satan would love for you to question what we're talking about right now. To see yourself outside of Christ. Say, I'm not worthy to be seated there. It didn't happen to me. I don't care. He says, I don't care what you believe as long as you don't believe the truth. But the truth is, he seated you there. And that's where you are. It's a fixed position. Because without Jesus, it's the truth. You and I are nothing. Jesus said that. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can't do anything. But you don't have to live without me. Don't question for a moment where you are and who you are and who Christ has made you to be. Your union with Christ puts you in a position of unfettered superiority. It makes you the master instead of the slave. It makes you the head and not the tail. Amen? It puts you in a position to make Satan live in fear of you. Hallelujah. When you walk into a room, disease should start to tremble. The enemy should start to quake. Because the life of Jesus is flowing through you. Nothing is impossible then. Right? That's what Jesus said. If you believe. But I'm telling you, nothing will be impossible to you. We don't pose any threat to Satan and to the world of darkness outside of Christ. But in him, we're Satan's worst nightmare. Within the kingdom of God, all of these things are already accomplished. Everything we've talked about this morning has already happened. Well, we can wait for the world to get answers, to solve problems. God has already done that. Everyone in his kingdom is an heir. Every one of you is an heir of God. Everyone is equally blessed. God is no respecter of persons. He doesn't bless some and not others. Everyone has his blessing. Everything is already completed. It's not something that's going to happen to you. It's something that has already happened to you. It's already happened. The Bible tells us, for instance, by his stripes you were healed. It says you were blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. It says you were redeemed by his blood. It says you have been given the righteousness of Christ. It says you were seated with Christ on the throne. All of those are past tense. They already happened. These are all true of you. They're all true of me. The point is, God reckoned that when he did it for Christ, he did it for you. The agreement was really between God and Christ. And then Christ brought all of us along with him. That we could become the recipient of all that God did in Christ. That we could be partners with him. That we could receive everything he received. We could be joint heirs with Jesus. It's already done. And I want to do one last verse in Mark chapter 16, verse 15. And this is at the very end of Jesus' life, right before he was ascended to heaven. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." And then in verse 17 he says, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." And so then, after the Lord had spoken this to him, he was received up in heaven and sat down. He sat down at the right hand of God. And you sat with him. And then it says, "And so the disciples went out everywhere preaching, and the Lord worked with them, confirming the word with accompanying signs." Amen. Amen. So believe his word, trust him, you're seated with him, act like it. Stand. If you want to come forward for prayer, do it. Do it. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you that your word is true, that everything we talked about this morning is true from your word, that it's really true that we are seated with you, that we have an inheritance in you, that we're alive in you, that we have purpose in you. It's really true, Lord. And so we embrace it. We thank you for it. We thank you for the truth of your word that says to us, you're seated in Christ in heavenly places. And so, Lord, we give you praise. We give you praise, Lord, because so wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Put your hand in your heart this morning. I love saying these words because I know that when I say them and I pronounce them over you, it draws a circle on your heart that God says, "I'll get them. Every week I say them, because every week I want God to get you. Maybe we should say them 7 times, get to one every day. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, peace.